Amen. We'd open our Bibles to Amos chapter 3. And verse 6, we'll continue in our study on vindication. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, that you've come down. We, Father, as a small group of people, we recognize that you have vindicated a prophet in this hour, a message, by your very presence being here among us. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight to further our understanding of that vindication, to enter into the dividends of what vindication is all about. For you said, he that receiveth a prophet receiveth a prophet's reward. And so, Father, we ask that you would bring us into a oneness with that prophet to receive not only him, but the reward that comes by receiving that message. You said, all that love me and all that I ever loved will be there. And so, Father, we pray that our love for that prophet would be, in a recognition of the suffering he went through to deliver a message that you gave him. And believing you stood by him, side by side, Lord, yet it didn't stop the stones from being hurled. It didn't stop the accusations and the rebuffs against his person, his family, the things he took. We recognize he was a separated man, called out and separated by a God who separates. And we realize, Father, that you have done the same in this hour, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you continue to be the same. And so, Father, we pray as we walk on our journey to the millennium, following your pillar of fire, that you'd help us, Lord, to fall in line, to say what you've said, and to reflect your presence among us. Renew our mind, Father, we pray. Get our bodies ready for transformation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets to his servants the prophets. Sunday we looked at Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my mouth in his mouth, or my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of another god, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord thy God hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but that prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, and thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now, we know that God is very protective of his word, and that his word goes forth, and it'll return not void, but it'll accomplish what he called for it to accomplish. And we realize that God just doesn't come down to put on a show. He even rebuked Brother Branham for putting on a show. And Brother Branham actually went off the field for about a year and a half after Jonesboro, Arkansas, where he labored under the Holy Spirit for about, I think it was either 48 or 72 hours. It was quite long. But we're looking at vindication and what vindication is all about. Now, We know that he said, if they don't hearken, I'll require it of them. Now we know there's coming plagues, there's coming a depression, there's coming many judgments, but before those judgments actually begin, let's just turn to Isaiah chapter 29, or let's go to 28. And reading from verse 12, he says, I'll go back to verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand the doctrine? Now the NIV says, whom shall he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? I don't think so. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. So what's the rest? The stammering tongues, or is it the speaking to the people? See? What's the speaking to the people? It's the message. So what's the rest? It's the message. Now, I just like to say this. I'm receiving, as I said, continuing to receive letters. I received a very nice one. I'll read it Sunday from a brother over in brother in Uganda. He's one of the fellow ministers in Brother Waswa's church. That his ministry is not to Brother Waswa's church, but it's to other churches. He goes out from the church like an evangelist or whatever. His name is Moses Mugabe. And I thought it was interesting that he mentioned that the books that I sent over there, and he had gotten a hold of the couple. I had sent one set to him. And he mentioned that in his own ministry, it has really lifted his faith to a higher plane than it's ever been before, in his own ministry to a higher plane. And I'm realizing that there's something happening in the message right now. The fact that these people are able to receive strong meat indicates that the growing up period has taken place. And these people are now coming to the place of maturity throughout the world. That tells me then that the harvest has got to be very, very close. You see? Because for a long time there were just a handful of us here in the United States, really, and a few countries around the world, but very few, who had received this. But the rest of the field is catching up. It's gleaning over there, and it seems like every continent right now is being touched by it. So that tells me that the rapture has got to be, or the catching away has got to be very close, that the maturing of the bride is coming to the place where they can receive strong meat. They're no longer drinking in the milk, but they're actually able to stomach very strong meat. Like the scripture said, he said, eat this scroll, it'll be bitterness to your belly, but it'll be sweet to your lips. And the thing is about strong meat, it's just that. Especially with young children. You know, you just don't give a young child meat, but when they get to be, you know, full age, you know, they really want the meat, and they don't want the milk anymore. And I see that there's something like that taking place, so I'm thankful for it. But it lets me know one thing. Notice here, he says, Brother Branham said that, not Brother Branham, but in Deuteronomy, God said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. He's going to pay a price. Now, the price doesn't start after the Holy Spirit leaves. The price actually begins when they start refusing to hear. We see here in Isaiah, he says, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. For whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand the message? It's not going to be babies. They're going to have to be grown up. He said, then he goes on, he says, to whom shall whom he said, this is the rest, wherein ye say, wherein ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, and we know the refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Yet they would not hear. So the word of the Lord shall become unto them do and do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, until they shall fall backward, stumble, and be taken. So the thing of it is, they go into prison. They go into a bondage. And so the actual requirement, where he says, I will require it of them, they actually, because they do not move forward with the word, they go back into legalism. The word of the Lord becomes to them conduct, order, and doctrine. Or as Brother Vail said, it becomes morality. And he said, look, I'm not up here preaching morality. He said, if you're born again, you will be moral. But the fact is that it goes way beyond morality. See? So we see then that by the time we get to chapter 29, he says, stay yourselves and wonder, cry out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon them the spirit of sleep, deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets. And that actually shouldn't be closed your eyes, but it should be closed to your eyes, the prophets, and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. In other words, you think your eyes are open, but you can't read the book. It's a closed book to you. It's sealed. He says, and the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. So what you see then by vision is closed off to you. It's sealed. Which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it's sealed. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draws near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart, their understanding far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts, the rules, the conduct, the order, and doctrine of men. Therefore, behold, I will do a marvelous work in their day among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto him that seeks deep to hide his counsel from the Lord, and their works in the dark, and they say, who shall see us? Surely your turnings of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say unto him that framed it, he had not understanding? In fact, the Lord goes to this point, he says, they walk in the light of their own, they walk in their own light, their own artificial light. So, we see then that there's got to be a falling away as a result. Now, the fact is that this light is actually going around the world right now. I looked at a map the other day and it amazes me where it's going this year. But you know what's going to happen afterwards? There's going to be a big time falling away. A big time falling away. Now, I'm not saying all these brothers I'm going to see are going to be falling away. But either they're going to have an awful, awful hard time. And there may be some, and I imagine there will be a number of them that are in the election, because that's why God's sending me. That's why they've received that word. But something's going to happen. Just as it happened in the United States, there's a big time falling away in the 80s because of the revelation of the presence. What has happened to the churches? They've gone into legalism. And yet the churches that are the most legalistic, the ones that only hammer on the women all the time, and yet those are the churches where the girls have slits up the side of their skirts up about as far as the North Pole. And I know, because I've got relatives in those churches and associated with those churches. Brother Juan just went to one where the pastor is a spiritual husband. In fact, his influence was very predominant down there in Peru. And that spiritual husband stuff was very predominant. And at that church, Juan was telling me about the girls' long hair, long dresses, but when they turned to the side, they got to slit all the way up. Just like the Baptists do. So what's the difference? The word of the Lord has become unto them do and do, do and do, program on program, program on program, rule on rule, rule on rule. And yet they're going backwards. And they're falling into bondage. Until you get to the point where down in Peru, there's one particular pastor who falls under the direction of these two ministers from the U.S., and he actually has wedding ceremony with each and every member of his church. They exchange rings. Actually, he doesn't wear the ring. They wear a ring. And they're his. And so he's their spiritual husband. Now, if that isn't the sickest thing I've ever heard, that's a cult. That's absolutely a cult. But that's what this message is producing. Not the message. I shouldn't say that. That's what the false ministry in this message are producing. And they're going to bring it to the place where it'll be looked on as a cult, if it's not already. And so I say, you know, you need any of those things to come against Brother Branham, any of those Trinitarian websites, or even the oneness. The oneness think he's a Trinitarian. The Trinitarian think he's a oneness. They don't understand his doctrine. They attribute to him things of other ministers, which absolutely, there was nothing Brother Branham said about any of the, you know, some of the stuff they try to bring out. So the very purpose then of the website that we put together was to put it out so that they do know what he stood for. He wasn't a oneness, and he wasn't a Trinitarian. And it truly baffles them. It baffles them. They don't know what to think. But that's good. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. We're going to be reading. Now, we find in the New Testament that God will once again send forth another prophet, and those who do not hear him will be cut off. God does not play games with us. He says what he means, and he means what he says. So if we turn into Acts chapter 3, and reading from verse 19, we read, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, and whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Notice the requirement at the hand of an angry God. Destruction. Destroyed from amongst the people. This is exactly what we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 to 9. This speaks of those who are cut off from the presence of the Lord, and they will be left only for the burning. So if we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we read verse 8 to 9, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power." So not only are they cut off from his presence, but they're cut off from his glory. That's his mind. That's why in Hebrews 6 it says there's no room for repentance. They can never change. They can never repent. They can never come back. People think that it's an awful thing, you know, when you preach the Word of God. But let me just say this. In Hebrews 6 we read, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God," lifeless acts, "of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit." God didn't permit it back then. He's permitted it in this hour. "For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away." Fall from what? The faith. "It's impossible for them to renew them again unto repentance." What is repentance? It's a change of the mind. "Seeing they crucify themselves and crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herb meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and continue to minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now this is why I say, it says, if they shall fall away from what? From the faith, from the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's impossible for them to ever renew their mind again to repentance. It's impossible for them to ever be of such a nature as to receive the truth again. So what's going to happen? The word of the Lord becomes to them, do and do, do and do. Rules, order, conduct. They'll never receive a mind to receive repentance, to receive a change of the mind. They'll never receive it. They're turned over to a reprobate mind. What happens to a reprobate mind? They begin to do things for convenience sake. Exactly. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. What brings on the depression? What do you think is going to bring on the depression? An act of God or an act of man? Huh? An act of man. What brings on the plagues? An act of God or an act of man? It's an act of man. You see, this is the condemnation, that light has come, and men love darkness rather than light. This is the condemnation, that if they shall fall away, having tasted of the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, having been once for all enlightened, and then they fall away. Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unright wiseness of men who hold the truth in unright wiseness. They hold it down, they suppress it. Because that which may be known of God has been manifested to them, for God hath showed it. God hath fanarooed it unto them. Now when is a fanaroo? Was it in Martin Luther's day? Wesley's day? Come on, you all know. It's today. The once for all enlightenment. So this is speaking of the end time. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts became darkened. Notice, became darkened. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Hold your finger here. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now what's vanity? Means worthless, doesn't it? So their minds being worthless, having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God, they cut off the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. I told Chrissy a week ago, we were talking about something, and I said, you know, God doesn't have dumb kids. God does not have stupid kids. His kids learn by the experience. God gives them experience. They draw away a little bit. God gives them a good spanking. They take the spanking and they move on with it. God does not have stupid kids. He does not have dumb kids. Now this tells us that these people become foolish. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their own understanding, the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. So what happens? They go into money, 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 women, 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 popularity, 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 and become pretty soon, women's not enough for them. They go to men. Pretty soon, men aren't enough for women. They go to women. And it all starts by rejecting the Word. That's why he said, I'm going to send you a prophet. Him that doesn't hear that prophet, I'll require it of him. People think, oh, that's down the road at the White Throne Judgment. The White Throne Judgment is now. Brother Brown said, I'm standing before the White Throne now. These people that want to come, they want to go, they want to act like as if, well, you know, we can do what we want to do because, hey, you know, we're under grace. No, they're not. They're not under grace. Just like the person, when Brother Branham said, a person that speeds, he said the Holy Spirit leads him, he's not under grace anymore. And the Holy Ghost leads you when you do those things. So you're on your own. Like in 2 John, he says, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So apparently these others don't know all things. In other words, only those that have the unction have an understanding. Now we spent two or three messages on that. Who is a liar? Is he that denieth Jesus Christ? Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So what are we facing this hour? They deny the Father, they deny the Son. They say, well, we believe that he's, you know, the Son is his own Father. Well, a vindicated prophet said the Son is not his own Father. He said that's Catholic. So what kind of a mind do these people have? They're Catholic. Absolutely. They're Catholic. By the way, I want you to keep praying for Dave Painter, or David Hardy. We butted heads over the time to time on, you know, because he was just as oneness as they come. Last week, the Lord opened his eyes finally. And he realized that the oneness spirit is the same as the Trinitarian. And he realizes now that there's one God and he had a son. And he actually tried to share it with somebody down at Donnie Reagan's church over the weekend. And he got the same lame excuses that he used to give me thrown back at him. And he said it was just like the man was blind. I said, well, he is. I think what finally shook him up was that when I told him a week ago, or actually about 2 weeks ago, I said, Dave, I doubt you'll ever see this. I said, because you don't want to see it. And that got to really, it hit him pretty hard. And finally, he asked the Lord to help him. And the Lord opened it up to him. And he had a real cleansing. He wants to know if he should get baptized again. I said, go ahead and do it. The Lord's really dealing with him, and you just keep praying for the guy. It's some reason why he's kept calling. So just pray for him, because Brother Vance said you can't get to first base until you see the Godhead. That's a quote. He says it's the greatest of all revelations. And until they see the Godhead, they'll never understand who's here. Oh, the Lamb came down, he did. Brother Brown set up the land. He said, if he was here with nail scarred hands, I wouldn't believe it. It's not the hour for it. You see the importance, brother, sister, of these doctrines that we're teaching on. Twins, vindication, Alphas, Omega, Godhead, presence. The importance of these things is lays in this fact. Many people, there's 6 billion people in the world, and they're all worshiping something. Paul said, you worship what you know not. And that's what they're worshiping, what they know not. So they're worshiping actually then the figment of their imagination. The very figment of their imagination. How many times people have depended on a vision or a dream as if that was the Lord leading them? Don't put your dependence on anything except thus saith the Lord. Brother Brown said the bride will come to the place where she has no dependence on anything except for thus saith the Lord. He said she'll have thus saith the Lord or she'll keep still. That's all she's going to depend on. The one thing that makes us different than the other 500,000 people around the world that claim the message. We believe vindication. They don't. They talk of vindication. We believe the message. They talk about a message. We're in the message. They talk of it. They're not in it. Because they're not in Christ. Christ is the Word. Christ is God. God came down. Jesus, His Son, did not come down. We go to meet Him in the air. Just like Rebecca met Isaac halfway in the field between the camel and the tent. And believe me, there will be a tent. The tent of His resurrection. I'll just put it that way. Not to say Brother Brown's having some great return ministry. I don't believe we have to go that far. But I do believe that He said that tent would be in the resurrection. That's good enough for me. Paul will be there. Peter, James, John, the apostles, Martin Luther, Wesley. The brethren that were under those ministries and those that were under Brother Brown's ministries. They'll all get the Alpha, no pizza in Omega. There was a period of time, more or less 40 days, maybe 75, as Brother Vail suggested he had talked with Brother Branham, where something could take place during the time of the resurrection. But Brother Branham lets us know that there won't be a great gathering, he said, except for this, the gathering will be in Christ, and He's the Word. So we hang everything we've got on vindication. And every little feeling you've got is going to be tried and tested. I don't go by pictures and things. You know, like that one picture that supposedly in the Philippines, a light going across. Could be, couldn't be. Who cares? It's not that. That identified a man. Right? Brother Brown said, that only identifies a man. One man, Brother Brown said, a one-man ministry. Yet that picture of the Philippines was over a group of people. He said, never a group. Never a group. We don't know what they teach over there. So that picture could be devil worship, for all we know. Because Brother Coleman had blue lights and things taking place in his church. People are seeing all kinds of things. Let me say this, you'll see what you are looking for. You will. And as I say, they see these things all over the Philippines because the people are in confusion in the Philippines. That's why the brothers have asked me to come. They said for 20 years they were in the message. Finally, the last, about 3 years ago, they pulled out of all the message. They pulled away from all the fellowship because all it was seven thunders. And seven thunders will take you right into seeing everything. And let me say this. What good does it do if you do see something? The very people that saw something supposedly that was standing behind me aren't even here anymore. What good did it do them? I didn't see it. Dwayne, did you see it? You're still here. I'm still here. I don't say this to be cruel, but the fact is you're going to get what you're looking for. You get what you're looking for. And the people that go beyond the Word are going to get all kinds of things. Just like the people that wanted to have a vision of Jesus. So now their dog's acting all kinds of funny ways. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus can pet your dog. Calm him down. That's what the message has become. Now, I don't stand here to be cocky. I don't stand here to be rude or mean. But those people are lost. When people look to having a vision in order to get the Holy Ghost, they're off the Word. One word off is what? Satan's kingdom. So where they at? Satan's kingdom. What's the evidence in their life? They're not following the message. They're following a man, William Branham. They like the man. Of course, they won't read Marriage and Divorce. It's a little bit too rough. To me, the rougher the better. David told me, he said, you know, I remember how many times you told me about Brother Vail when Brother Branham was preaching the rapture, and Brother Branham said, when Brother Branham said the rapture or the shout is the message, Brother Vail sat there and said,
Well, I've heard Brother Branham say some strange things before, but that's one of the stranger I ever heard him say. And he said something else spoken within him said, but when has he been wrong? Brother Vail found himself saying, the shout is the message. And David Harding told me this. He said, the experience I had that changed my whole thinking was when I said, Brother Branham said he's not his own father, therefore he's not his own father. Yeah. I said, David, now you're starting to think in the conduit of God. Now just learn to get yourself out of the way that the word might entirely come in. So just pray for the man. But that's where we have to be. And I believe that's where you are. You got to the point where you said, hey, you know, the world thinks they got it figured out. They know they don't. But we have a vindicated prophet came. With us saith the Lord. And that's where we place our trust. That's where we're placing our eternal destination. Now notice the requirements of at the hands of an angry God. Destruction. And separation from his presence. And ultimately, the destruction of finances, the financial conditions, depression, plagues, and then finally, God cleans up the whole thing with atomic fire. And then the holy fire of God. Now, as we said, God doesn't do this because you know, he's an angry God or a mean God. The depression is coming, and we read the scripture, because of their greediness. You see, in Romans it said, because of their filthy, their lasciviousness with all greediness. So the lasciviousness, the wantonness, the desires to have caused the people to invest in the stock market until, did you know that 50% of all stock purchases are on credit? The people are borrowing against their 401ks, they're borrowing against whatever way they can borrow, thinking they're going to be rich. And when the stocks go, not only do they lose what they had in stocks, but they lose all the money they borrowed to get there. You talk about a serious depression, because they didn't do that in the first depression. The first depression was not on borrow. There wasn't a lot of credit back then. This time, 50% of all the stocks. Now, that ought to tell you something, how weak the stocks are. If 50% of all the stock purchases are on borrowed money, and the amount of people buying stock compared to it was in 1929, when a handful of investors, I won't say a handful, but you know, maybe 10% of the population, now it's about 60, 70, 80% of the population are into the stock market. And it's going to come crumbling down because 40% of those people, or 40%, have borrowed to get their stock. And how many others have leveraged everything they've got without borrowing to get their stock? Houses, pension plans, everything else. So it's going to come. It will come. And I'm going to say this. I'll be glad when it does come. Not that, because we're going to have to go through some of that. It's going to be hard on us. But the fact is, let the word of God be fulfilled. He said, if you bless me, I'll bless you. He said, you hear the voice, Deuteronomy 28, you hearken to my voice, blessings will overtake you. You fail to hearken to my voice, and what happens? The cursing. What is part of the cursing? Not only the plagues, but the depression. And it's got to come. From the token, Brother Branham said, he sent a prophet to them, Moses, with a message identifying God's word and to identify Moses. He sent a pillar of fire that hung over him. Amen. Then to give him the perfect assurance, he required a token. Amen. There's a messenger, the message, and the vindication, and the token, the perfect assurance that they had nothing to worry about. No matter how many plagues strike, what everybody else says, they
are sealed away. That's you and me. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. From the 20th century prophet, he said, we read, "The people were oppressed under Pharaoh. For Moses to come and declare himself a prophet of God and worthy of attention and obedience to the word of God in his mouth, he would of necessity have to gain their attention through some vindication by God that would defy all dispute." Now, did that not happen? Infallibly, tens of thousands of times, a prophet came, discerned 100% on the dot, even to where they tried to trick him. They said, "Oh, it's just mind reading, so we're going to write down on our card that we have epilepsy." Brother Branham looked, he said, "You don't have epilepsy." "But it's on my card," he said. He said, "I see you were scheming with that man up there in the balcony the other night." He said, "Now the thing that you wrote on that card, you have," and the man fell into an epileptic seizure. And I say, praise God for it. Praise God. You say, "Oh, you're a tough one." No, God's a tough one. You say, "You're hard." No, I'm in the channel. I'm in the conduit. You see, I love God more than I love myself. I love God more than I love my family. I love His Word. And the only way you can love God is to love His Word. From 20th century prophet, he said, "This can be easily understood. The Hebrews had not had a prophet for about 400 years. Such a length of time would see several generations without the dynamic truth of God in their midst and a consequent ignorance of God's way. Moses would need supernatural vindication of his ministry to catch their attention and capture their hearts. This is the very same situation when both John and Jesus came. Israel was without a prophet for another 400 years with the consequent deterioration of truth into human tradition. How very difficult it would be to turn Israel to truth by a prophet. Thus, when God sent Moses, he sent him with two signs. If the people refused the first sign, the rod made into a serpent, they would hearken to the voice of the second sign, the hand placed in the bosom turning leprous and then clean, Exodus 4:8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the second sign. God said that the signs were voices. Each time the sign appeared in the ministry of Moses, it was the voice of God speaking. It would naturally do two things. It would impel the one to come and harden the other more and more. That is what the sign did. That is what the voice of God does. It draws some and they come closer to the sign, as did Moses himself when the bush glowed. But on the other hand, that voice is calling with will harden the heart more and more as it rejects God. It happened thus to Pharaoh. It happened thus to the Pharisees. But Moses was not discouraged. He kept on. He knew that God was with him in his calling, for the voice that he was obeying was a scriptural voice. A true prophet like Moses will always be one with the Word. The voice that cried out of the bush spoke the Word of God as it had been given to him, that great prophet Abraham. It said, "I remember my promise to my people." So Moses listened and obeyed, and in doing so, he brought the promise of God for the people of that generation. Now, when God spoke by that sign, there was only one avenue left. Israel had to move out of Egypt. The Exodus had to come. There will be a final vindicating sign, and our day will be over, too. The rapture must come. As John the Baptist cried, "Behold the Lamb of God," without doubt this messenger, till the last age, will cry, "Behold the Bridegroom cometh." As the Apostle Paul declared the mysteries of God that produced such dynamic faith in the early church, even so now, when that last prophet reveals what Paul did truly teach, that same word that brought that early church faith, which is based solely on the word, will now bring back that faith, and that will be a rapturing faith, so to meet the Lord in the air and be forever with him. Having set forth both the scripture and the unusual vindication of the prophet messenger, it is well to correlate both and to see in them the marvelous works of God. Think for a moment on the fact that this man is often self-vindicated. In other words, there have been times when he has given his testimony and asked others to accept him as a man sent from God. There is not a prophet who appeared on the scene at any time but had to do likewise. When Moses appeared before Israel, he said, "God spoke to me out at the burning bush." He then proceeded to prove it by two signs that he had from God. The immediate reaction was twofold. Some believed and others said, "We weren't there. How do we know that God spoke to you from the cloud of fire?" But Moses was not discouraged. He kept on. He knew that God was with him in his calling, for the voice that he was obeying was a scriptural voice. A true prophet, likewise, or like Moses, will always be one with the word. The voice that cried out of the bush spoke the word of God as it had been given to that great prophet Abraham. It said, I remember my promise to my people. So Moses listened and obeyed, and in so doing he brought the promise of God for the people of that generation. Think of John the Baptist, the greatest prophet at least to that time. What was his witness? John 1, verse 31 to 34 says, And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit from heaven descending like a dove, and it abode on him. Can you imagine the expectation of John? For 6 months he's out there ministering, and he knows that one day the Lamb of God is going to come to be washed. And he's just waiting. Every time he goes out there, he says, Lord, is this the one to come? Is he in this crowd today? Boy, the expectation. And you know what? After the service was over and it didn't happen, the bubble bursting. Well, and if it didn't happen today, praise God, it's going to be tomorrow. See? And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now here was John with his witness. He said, God spoke to me and told me what I have just told you. There again we have an immediate reaction that was twofold. Some believed and others said, we weren't there, so we don't know if there was a voice or not. Furthermore, what sign can you show us? Thus it is with William Branham. He speaks of seeing a light appearing over people. That light was actually photographed, and you can see it in this book. Yet very few have actually seen that light. Now, whether you accept his testimony or not is up to you. But remember, right now, you have accepted that of John, and he did not have the signs following him that most prophets had. Furthermore, it is with Reverend Branham, as it was with Moses, for the pillar of fire is absolutely scriptural. And so is the voice, for it has never deviated from the word. From him, then, we are bound to hear and learn the promise of God for this age. William Branham also says that the angel appears to him. He even describes him. Your reaction is up to you. You can believe or disbelieve. But no man has a right to repudiate another, especially if the claimant is on strict Bible grounds. Angelic appearances are positively biblical. A self-witness is absolutely scriptural. God backs up the revelation. As it was with Paul, who came with the complete revelation to the Gentiles, God bearing him witness both with diverse signs and miracles and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost, so God has borne witness to William Branham, for there has not been one time when the vision failed. Nor has there been one time when he said, Thus saith the Lord, that the word in his mouth ever failed. Though one might be censured for the following, yet it ought to be said. There are very few scriptural evidences in the Bible to vindicate the revelation ministry of Paul. That God actually gave him the complete revelation he lays claims to has but little phenomenal proof from God. Yet no one doubts, and no one should doubt, the authenticity of the man himself and the revelation. And today this man, William Branham, has had literally thousands of manifested vindications from God, and with his life containing all the other factors that make up the prophetic office, he ought to be received for what he is. He must be received for what he is. Thus saith the Lord is in his mouth by the Holy Ghost is absolutely no different from thus saith the Lord in the mouth of Paul, for it is the same Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit that spoke in the pillar of fire to Moses is the same pillar of fire that fell at Pentecost as a cloud of fire, and is the same light exactly that appeared to Paul and blinded him and spoke to him, and that light of fire is now with us again, and the voice is the same voice, for the same signs are given as before, and the prophetic utterances never fail. It is thus the rankest unbelief of men to come to this prophet and hear him reveal without one mistake ever the various ailments and problems that beset the supplicant who comes for prayer, and then turn from that sign and say that he is a prophet only in discerning, but not a prophet in the word. O faithless one, can you not see that the sign is to attract your attention that you might believe the word? It is the word that counts, and the sign is to lead you to it. But man runs true to form as ever he did. When Jesus came, he attracted them by the miracles of healing. The water turned to wine. The loaves and fishes multiplied. But when he began to teach a word that was different from theirs, when he laid out for them the true doctrines, they turned far from him. And so it was that when Reverend Branham first appeared on the scene, thousands were healed with never a miss. Nothing stood before him. Then he came teaching the word. God had sent him with a message, but the message differed radically from that of the organized church's message. For this he was repudiated. But God remains true. He that believes his prophets shall prosper. Now the following quotation is taken from Brother Branham, who is a vindicated prophet of God to this last age. And we find that God sends forth his divine presence to back up the message that he gives to his prophet. Thus saith the Lord, is spoken by the prophet. And these are not just some sort of opening statements that sound good. But thus saith the Lord means exactly what it says. The Lord has said thus. And so from the message expectation, he said, gifts and callings are without repentance. There is a spirit that's in the church. That's true. Such as gifts of prophecy, healing, and so forth. But they're in the entire body. They may fall upon one person tonight, a prophecy, and it might not never fall on that person again. It might be somewhere else in the body. And those spirits are supposed to be judged. Let one speak and two or three judge, Paul said. Now those are the spirits of the gifts that's in the church. But the only person that has a right to say, thus saith the Lord, is a vindicated prophet. You never seen anybody judging Israel or Jeremiah or those people. They were prophets, foreordained and born in the world to be prophets. And they foresaw the thing by a vision and then said, thus saith the Lord. For the Lord had already said it. So what the church needs today is a good old-fashioned teaching of the gospel. That's right. To know where they... And I don't mean just educated teaching. I mean spiritual teaching. Some people speaks about God and knows nothing of Him. You see, you must get down and deal with the actual Spirit itself, to know what you're talking of or what you're speaking of. Also from the same message, paragraph 61, he said, now Moses could only perform these miracles, but the people had to believe him. That was the vindication that he was sent of God. Do you understand? It was vindicated... It have indicated his word to be true. If any man say anything and God testifies not that, then the man is wrong. But if the man says something and God testifies behind that, then that man is right. See? Not only once, but over and over and over. It has to be every time. Now, Moses did that and he proved to the people. Now, from the message, obey the voice of the angel. He said, well, when the children of God begin to cry down in Egypt, God sent them down a deliverer and vindicated this deliverance by signs and wonders. Don't you think God could do that tonight just the same? Isn't He the same Father tonight? And if you're sick and can't get well, the doctor can't help you, then don't you think your Father is here for you? And can't He send His gifts? Now, He did then, and I believe He's just the same today. He always makes a way provided. From Obey the Voice, paragraph 16, He said, now, dear Heavenly Father, Your word lays here on the pulpit, and I know that it is the divine word of truth. Every word is the truth. I believe it, and I realize that every prophet that went forth in the days of old had a time to try to bring the people to a recognition of Jehovah. The apostles who paved the way with blood, gone on before us, they was disbelieved in cities and cast out. And your own beloved son, when he was here on earth, and he went to the city in many places, they did not believe him. And many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief. Now we know that He's here with us tonight. He sent His Spirit to vindicate that His presence is with His church. And help us tonight, Father, and your poor, humble, unworthy servant who's standing here making these statements. I ask that you'll let the angel of God who has guided me down through life, has kept me, fed me, brought me this far. I pray that he will be here and there will be not one disease or one thing that can be able to pass by his presence without being perfectly delivered. May many of them in the audience, Lord, just now sit down and say, I'm going to study, Lord. I'm going to think of you and your spirit being here. And I want to know your nature that I might know how to love you and to serve you. From the hours coming, say, can we bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, solemnly, reverently, we bow our heads to you just now to thank you for this great meeting that we're coming near to the end. And ask of thee to make this the climax, the great climax that many, not only many, but that all the people who are sitting present, that's sick or possessed with foul spirits, that they may be delivered tonight, that you might receive glory. Father, I thank thee for the ministry of my brethren that's sitting here with me tonight to lend their faith in this healing line as I pray for the sick. And I pray that your spirit, the angel of God, whose servant I am, may come tonight and vindicate his great presence to be here and make it an outstanding time that the people may never fear no more, but to know that the supernatural great God of heaven is here among his people. and is now working among his children, that they may, and if they start to do anything wrong, that they will know that there is an all-seeing eye watching them. And if they would do something right, know that there is a Heavenly Father watching them, who will in return give them a reward. For we reap as we sow. Now, Lord, I pray Thee, with my whole heart, soul, and mind, that You will make this meeting a great blessing, and may the people understand these few words. And I pray that You will circumcise the lips of Your servant and the hearts of Your people, that I may speak the right thing, and they may hear and believe, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. From Exhortation on Healing, he said, "Now I can only be honest." You see, that's what I've always tried to be honest with the people, with God's people, my friends. Well, sir, I'm born and raised in a poor family. And I said, and I'm uneducated, and I couldn't go. And he said, "I'll be with you." And I said, oh, they wouldn't believe me. And he said, as the prophet Moses was given two signs to vindicate his ministry, he'd send them to Israel, you know, to deliver Israel. Said, so would you be given two signs. Said, one of them will be that you'll take the people by the hand, knowing nothing of what's wrong with them, and tell them what's wrong. Said, then if you'll be reverent, and said, it'll come to pass later that you'll know the very secret of their heart. And he said, if you would question this. Now, I remember Brother Ram talking about that, and he said, you know, the first sign was to deceive. He said it was to get the impersonators to come out doing the same thing, because he already had the gift to discern. Now, when Brother Branham, when he would hold the hand and those little things would go all over the hand, you think Brother Branham had some type of a template, some type of a chart that says, oh, if these things go this way, this means this disease? Listen, the diseases are too complicated. He gave both. God gave him both. He gave him that to deceive the imposters, so they go after looking after some type of sensation, when the real gift is the Word, which discerns the very thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, from Lord, just once more, he said, the denominations will not take the vindication of the Word. So if a person cannot take the vindication, they got a denominational spirit on them. See, from Indictment, he said, the Holy Ghost today is not no third person. It's God Himself manifested in human flesh by the blood of Jesus Christ to sanctify a life that He might reflect Himself through. And they crucify that same Word made manifest. So how do they crucify the Word of God afresh in this day? By refusing the vindicated message and messenger. You understand? He says the crucifixion of Christ today is the people who will deny the vindicated and manifested Son of God among the people by His things that He said would take place in this day by His Word. See? Now, the same vindication would have to be the same if He's the same Son of God, because He said in St. John 14 and 12, now, the works that I do shall you do also. Hebrews 13 and 8, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you abide in me, John 15, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, just ask what you will, and it'll be given you. Yes, sir. Now, what Son of God is He talking about? Jesus? Or is He talking about the same God that was in the Son of God is now back in sons of God? And the people see those sons of God, specifically this Son of God, William Branham, and they crucified it. They don't believe it. Even though the same signs, same wonders, same Word was brought forth. Then when this Son of God, or Brother Vale as a Son of God, or whoever the ministry would be, is reflecting the same message, and they turn that down. Why are they turning down? They're turning down a vindicated teaching. Not a vindicated teacher, but a vindicated teaching. You see, Peter got to the place where he said, Lord, where are we going to go? Back to Pentecost? Back to Judaism? For Thou alone has the words of eternal life. Where are people going to go today? Now see, it's up to God, in my situation, it's up to God to keep me in line. It's not up to my wife, it's not up to you. It's up to God. Because if I get out of line, it's up to God to straighten me up. If I don't take the correction from God, He takes me off the scene. But if I'm God's, and He's keeping me in line, and people can't take it, then what does that make them? Or in Brother Vail's case? What about these people that say, well, Brother Vail doesn't believe in prayer, doesn't take communion? Where are they getting that from? Well, I'll tell you what. Scripture does tell us that the people would believe a lie. They'd be happy to believe a lie. These ministers that went around the world saying Brother Vail's soul is as black as pitch, what does that make them? What does it make them? You say, well, they were told a lie, so they just repeated it. Is that what happened? They were so willing to repeat a lie instead of go find out the truth. Well, who's the father of lies? Then what does it make them? His children. From the indictment, and the Holy Ghost today is not, from the Laodicene church age. Jesus called John the Baptist Elijah, Matthew 17:12. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but had done unto him whatever they listed. The reason that he called John Elijah was because the same spirit that was upon Elijah had come back upon John, even as that same spirit had come back upon Elisha after the reign of King Ahab. Now, once again, that spirit will come back upon another man just before Jesus comes. He will be a prophet. He will be vindicated as such by God, since Jesus himself in the flesh won't be here to vindicate him, as he did John. It will be done by the Holy Spirit, so that this prophet's ministry will be attended by great and wonderful manifestations. As a prophet, every revelation will be vindicated, for every revelation will come to pass. Wonderful acts of power will be performed at his command in faith. Then will be brought forth the message that God has given him in the word to turn the people back to truth and the true power of God. So we'll listen. Some will listen, but the majority will run true to form and reject him. From my commission, Brother Bassett, that's just a vindication, see, that Jesus Christ is presence. In other words, brothers and sisters, the very presence of God is to vindicate a message. From exhortation on healing. Now, let's just kind of pray again, just for a moment, if you will, because I've been talking, and it makes it kind of odd for me. Now, dear Jesus, now, we're here, and we ask you, and I've explained all that I know of, and it's getting a little late, and we don't want to weary the people. But now, Father, I have tried with all my heart to let them know that you are here and willing to heal each one. Now, I have told them that you have sent your humble servant to encourage them to believe on your Son, Jesus. And by signs and wonders that you have given me to perform is for their encouragement and the vindication that thou hast sent thy humble servant to pray for their diseases and afflictions, and they will get over it. So notice the vindication then is for our encouragement.